in order for my dentistry to be successful long term, I need to have a good core foundation of why things are the way they are.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Anderson, and I'm super excited to have you back with me this week. I gotta admit, this week is one of those topics that hits very close to home. From the standpoint of, like, I kind of pride myself in being somebody that understands a lot of the newer trends in dentistry and all that, but airway and the impacts it has on my patients and the impacts it has on my practice was a topic within my curriculum that I was honestly just kind of not really addressing. It was, you know, kind of like ortho. It was just like one of those topics I just didn't want to address. I was just on all the fancy stuff. And so, you know, when I started thinking about, like, hey, we got to talk about some topics within, you know, clinical dentistry that really move the needle and have the opportunity to make an impact, airway really comes to mind because it impacts every one of my patients. And so when we start talking about airway management and sleep apnea and snoring and airway restrictions and myofunctional therapy and all these different topics that are really, really popular right now, nobody comes to mind better and more recommended than somebody within our own 3D dentist family. She is well known within the community, both dental and medical, as being a leading expert in this topic. And honestly, what makes Dr. Elliott so impactful is that her ability to connect with us, the users, whether your skill set and knowledge is limited or it's very expansive. So what we're going to be talking about today is airway, all things airway, but more importantly, focusing on, like, the us new users that are like, hey, airway is not really a component of my practice, but I know it should be, and maybe I want to do a little bit more. So without further ado, I want to welcome everybody, Dr. Erin Elliott with 3D Dentists.
Hi there. I'm excited to be here. And like you said, there are, when you say airway, that just in my mind just gives us, like, so many rabbit trails to go down because there are so many components and there's just so much more information out there. Back when I started in 2008, 2009, it was easy. It was surgery, CPAP, or appliances. And now it's overwhelming with the information. So I feel like it's my job to go out there and learn it all. And then it is my job to simplify and basically teach the dentist and dental team members, like, what actually applies to your patient and how you can integrate it into your practice.
And that's where I think, I mean, we throw out the term airway. And like you said, this is a topic that is so broad. But ultimately, you know, it's funny because, you know, looking back on myself and in my practice of how I was implementing airway, and to be honest, how I wasn't really looking for it. I mean, we live on these islands within our practice. We talked about this on a previous podcast that, you know, we live on our islands, we kind of do our thing, and it's really easy to get suckered into just kind of just doing our normal thing. And one of the things that was eye-opening for me was that we start looking at, you know, why things look the way they do. The Simon Sinek has renowned for his book, you know, Start With Why. And for me, when I start seeing patients with wear, when I start seeing patients with erosion or history of bruxism, you know, it's that catch-all phrase of, like, all right, just put them into an occlusal guard. And ultimately, what I have learned is that I've really been treating the symptom. I haven't really been addressing, like, why on earth are my patients grinding the heck out of all their enamel and dentin? Why do they have this acid erosion? Why is their blood pressure the way it is? Why are they on antidepressants? Why are they on all these things? And too many times we as dentists, we focus on like the simple fix of like, I can fix you. I can fix this broken crown. I can fix this broken filling without really addressing the bigger picture of like why this looks the way this does.
I think in the past too, though, we would be like feeling really good about ourselves. Like we asked our patient about acid reflux and we asked if they had symptoms of heartburn. Like we're really getting to the root of it, but there is even beyond that. How do you sleep at night? I actually recently just did a little video for our forum. As you know, if you take the course, I do a forum where I can keep people hopefully, excited and up to date and all those things, but also just some teaching snippets. And I interviewed each of my 6 hygienists. That's a lot.
To be honest, that's slightly terrifying. I mean, good for you that you have 6, because in this day and age, like, we're all dying to get our hygienists.
I know.
Where you find them. But
I said, what dental signs and symptoms, including health history or just their mouth, what prompts you to bring sleep apnea up to a patient? And what's your verbiage in bringing it up? And almost every single one of them said ruxing and scalloped tongue. Now, does a scalloped tongue have any impact on the patient's life? And even ruxing doesn't have an impact on the patient's life. They deny it most of the time. So oftentimes we were making this occlusal guard for a problem they didn't even know didn't even think they had. Now, possibly if they broke dentistry and had to pay for, several crowns, then they'd be more motivated to prevent. But the question that they always ask is, do you wake up refreshed in the morning? And nothing to do with snoring. And early in my career, I focused on the snoring. And turns out most snorers don't think they do, or they think it's normal, or they don't think it's an issue. And the people that are really suffering and it has nothing to do with weight, the women with insomnia and a lot of those bruxers and clenchers. And so there is some motivation there when there's like, we can relate it back to their life and not just, the scalloped tongue, you need a sleep study.
Well, I think
you really try to get to the root of the pain.
Totally. And so this was eye-opening to me. For those of you that know me and my interests within my practice, I'm very digitally focused and technology and all these cool things. And so one of the things that I became very passionate about was 3D printing. And so I jump into 3D printing, and it's kind of like the early CEREC days where they're like, if you do X number of crowns a month, like that justifies the ROI. In 3D printing in the early days, it was like, if you do X number of occlusal guards, that's going to justify the investment. Look what you can do. And I agree, it's an amazing tool, but I started looking at my practice. I'm like, man, I'm doing a ton of occlusal guards, like a ton. And exactly. So, I mean, for me, it was great because my team members are empowered. They're able to, like, my team members are, designing the guard, they're making, they're fabricating. But then, I knew that airway was a topic that I had to go into. And so I took, for the listeners here, I took Erin's course. And ironically, the reason I took her course was actually tied to the fact that Erin took my course in 3D printing before that. And we were sitting there polling the audience of like, how many people are doing occlusal guards in office? And Erin was like, I don't do that many occlusal guards. And I was like, floored, like, what do you mean you don't do occlusal guards? Like, how do you not do many? And she's like, well, most of my patients are getting some form of sleep appliance. And what it did is it triggered this concept of like, oh my gosh, like, am I providing the right therapy? And I think so many of us newer clinicians, whether we're fresh out of school or we're within our practice, you know, we see something, we're looking for an easy fix. So when we see worn teeth, immediately we're thinking grinding, I got to protect the teeth, I'm going to get you in an occlusal guard. And what I think was eye-opening was that was a solution without addressing the cause. And once I took your course, it, you like, you know, that whole adage, like once you see something, you can't unsee it. For me, I couldn't unsee these concepts like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I have a patient population that might be in occlusal guard therapy, but I have a huge patient population that are in occlusal guards that actually should be in a different type of an appliance. So Aaron, walk me through a little bit, because this is a concept that like I now get because I walked through your course. But you know, for a clinician right now that's doing a ton of occlusal guards or might be treatment planning, you know, anytime they see wear, acid erosion, history of TMD or anything like that, talk us through your protocol when you have a patient present to your office of how you make the decision of what type of appliance is most appropriate for them and why.
I would say at this point, they're not completely surprised that I would bring it up, but I do have my hygienist kind of do a lot of the heavy lifting. And I tell them that we now know, research shows that bruxing of your teeth and how you sleep at night are interrelated. So before we make you anything to protect your teeth, we want to screen you to see if there is something deeper going on. And so leave it to dentists to make things efficient and overcome objections and make it easy for the patients not to tell you no. And so before we do any occlusal guard, we do own home sleep test units that we would screen the patient with, test them at night to see if something deeper is going on. So we basically say we want to rule out something called sleep apnea that could be a condition related to your blood pressure medication and your acid reflux as well, so that we can make you the right kind of night guard. And so we keep it pretty simple. And then they're not even thinking CPAP yet, because there's still some confusion that they think that's all they can get. I think sometimes when you say sleep apnea, someone's like, are you calling me an old fat man? So,
well, that's what's crazy to think about. Like, and for once you start doing more at home sleep tests, which we'll kind of talk about here in a second, you'll start finding I've been shocked at the results and more importantly, like how I'm not really good at predicting like how somebody's got like certain signs and symptoms, like, yeah, you have sleep apnea. But other times I'm like, it was that young fit female that I'm like, oh my gosh, uh-huh. Like your score is off the roof and I had no idea. And we've been making you at night appliance. And so when we start looking at ways to get started. So if, you know, a new dentist who's not doing any sleep in their office right now, and you know, you're talking about doing an at-home sleep test, talk a little bit more about what that is and how somebody can get started doing that. And
If you're not doing sleep, my first question would be why. You know, what's the hesitation? Is it not the right timing? Are you, you've heard it doesn't work? You don't feel like you have the team support, whatever it is, because I feel like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it would be hard to just learn this and then not do anything with it. But I don't know why there's controversy over home sleep test units, but there's a variety of kinds, different pros and cons to each one, but it's much more than a wearable. Wearable meaning Fitbit, iWatch, that sort of thing. And it's much more than a pulse ox. So not only are you measuring pulse and oxygen, but you're measuring airflow and sympathetic reaction to the events of your airway closing off. Sometimes they measure sleep staging. So you really get a good idea of a snapshot of someone's sleep. And my favorite part is really kind of translating that data into the patient's story. And that's where light bulbs go off. They're like, oh, wow, you know, I came in here because you told me I was bruxing my teeth, but now I can see it's related to my insomnia and why melatonin doesn't work and all these other things that they've tried. So connecting it back to their pain points. So my analogy is, you know, most dentists have blood pressure cuffs in their office. They're taking blood pressures. But no one's accusing them of practicing medicine. No one's accusing them, you know, like it's just standard practice. Because we're screening patients for a silent but impactful disease that they may not know they have. And the blood pressure cuff is simply bringing to attention that there's an issue. And we are not, as dentists, don't diagnose hypertension. We are simply using a tool to screen for a disease that they may not know they have. And so by using a home sleep test unit, we are making sure that they're bruxing and they're, you know, all the other medications that they're on or their insomnia and all those things could be something deeper. And so we're bringing to attention what that is. And we use a sleep physician in the cloud that will diagnose it for us. And that just simply gives us, you know, the basis, the foundation to get the right kind of treatment. Do I put everyone in appliances? Not necessarily, but there's times that there's too severe. But I feel like an appliance is never really wasted, especially if they have bruxing, and we just call it an upgraded appliance, or upgraded night guard.
And I think what you mentioned on the whole light bulb concept when you're having these discussions with patients, because, you know, so many times our patients think of us as clinicians that just treat, you know, drill and fill, that kind of concept. And so when you start really having these conversations with patients and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it looks like here you got up a couple times, you probably went to the bathroom two or three times, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, did you have cameras in my room? Like, what, how do you know this? And really what it does is it helps reestablish the trust within that we're looking out for their best interest. And I think ultimately Airway bridges that barrier from the standpoint of making oral medicine and systemic medicine. It bridges that gap. And that's one of those aspects of my practice that I've just been floored at how big of an impact it's had on not only my patients, but my team members as they've had the ability to kind of like have these discussions. And so, you know, the key with this is, you know, when I looked at initially, like why I didn't get into airway or why I didn't get into sleep, or for me, there were like, I had all these barriers built in my head. Like, I don't want to deal with, you know, CD10. I don't want to deal with medical billing. I don't want to deal with any, like, and what I found out for me was that when you eliminate a lot of these barriers and you just like, in my practice, to be honest, like everything airway is just like, I bill the patient like pretty much what the sleep test costs and some chair time. And just so we can get them into the test. And then from there, we make the appliances all fee for service. It's not insurance based in my practice currently. And for me, that's been a great avenue to have a great discussion with a patient to move them to saying yes to the best for them. And
yeah, and especially in North Dakota, it's easy to like get patients away from medical insurance because that's one of the states where you have to go get a CPAP. And they're like, yep. But I don't want one. So like, you know, I kind of challenged them. I was like, well, why are you letting your medical insurance dictate your treatment? They're not even, they don't even know you.
Or for me, the low-hanging fruit of all the patients that have a CPAP but don't wear it.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's a huge patient.
I think we still, even though we teach medical billing, you know, we do an overview, you do some worksheets so you can figure out of pocket and all that stuff. But we're still too dependent on it. And it's the weirdest thing because we sell clear aligner cases. We sell cosmetic cases. We sell a lot of things that aren't dependent on insurance. Yet, for some reason, oral appliance therapy is focused on that. And notice I said oral appliance therapy, because I think too often we refer to the oral appliance costing whatever it is you charge, the cash fee. But whenever we present clear aligners, it's not like the appliance or the patient looks at the aligners and says, those cost $5,000. Come on. But for some reason, if you tell them that the appliance is $2,500, they're like, that thing costs $2,500. So we don't even refer to the cost of the appliance. We discuss the cost of the therapy. I don't know if it works or not, but just a thought. And then, of course,
you bring up a huge component of it's a mindset shift for not only us as clinicians, but as patients. And so when we start looking at, you know, we'll kind of backtrack here a little bit from the standpoint of like, okay, I'm a dentist who's not doing as much airway as I maybe think I probably should, or maybe I'm not doing any at all. Talk to me about some of the signs and symptoms from a dental alveolar oral cavity that might trigger your team to be like, hey, this may be an airway patient.
The list is endless, right? But the first thing is the non-physical conditions, which would be the health history. And that's why I think it's important you ask over-the-counter medications, even if used once in a while. And because the top four conditions that we kind of look for, and the list is long. However, if we could just focus on four, that would be hypertension or heart conditions. It would be antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds, psychiatric meds. It would be acid reflux meds. And it would be diabetes.
Erin, that just encompassed like 80% of my patient population. I mean, like that's exactly. So, I mean, that's the stuff that like I need us to understand here is that the components that some of the signs and symptoms that result from an airway restriction are so prevalent in our general patient population, which is why this stuff goes undiagnosed for so long on so many patients. Yeah. So you kind of touched on some of those. Keep going.
Think about it, though. Acid reflux is over the counter. And if they tell you they take melatonin or some sort of sleep aid, that's a great intro to a conversation. Did you know that one of the best drugs for when you sleep to get sleep is, and they kind of look at you, it's like, it's oxygen. That's if I can be a smart aleck. Also, if someone's taking baby aspirin, to me, that triggers that they want to prevent a heart issue, that they are concerned about their heart. Well, that's a great intro. And then looking at the anatomical things, as you know, I have a checklist that's like kind of a visual for team members to review. But if we were to just pick out the top four from there, it would be Bruxism and clenching. It would be just their airway in general. Is it red and swollen? Is the soft palate long? Is the uvula battered? Like, is it narrow? Just what does their airway look like? It would be acid erosion and then deep bite. So those class two deep bite patients, it's almost the like trifecta or like turkey waddle look that they 95% guarantee they have sleep apnea.
Well, and for me,
95% of the time, it's every time.
So what's interesting is you like literally described like my perfect patient, like the worn dentition, the acid erosion, the deep bite, like these are all my patient base that I'm like, I love to treat because this is like emotional based dentistry because this involves ortho. Usually this involves full mouth rehabilitation. But the one key component that I cannot stress enough to listeners is that I was missing addressing why their teeth looked the way they did, why the patients felt the way they did, why the patients were on the medications they were on. And these are some of the things that we as clinicians in the modern age that we need to honestly reevaluate, like how we do things, because ultimately, we are doing a disservice to our patients when we are missing some of these major risk factors of addressing why something happened. Trauma is totally different than wear and tear. Like wear and tear, we have to address the cause. I don't care what I do to their dentition, it's gonna fail if we can't address why things are the way they were. And for me, that's what's been so eye-opening in my practice was that I started reevaluating all these cases I'd done, every full mouth rehab, every wear case, every acid erosion. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed the
And he was now, screaming at me. He was
oh my gosh. But it's one of those things, you know, the whole adage, like, if you can't unsee it, I get that. But I can't stress it enough for you users, if you're not doing airway, if that's not a major component of your workflow, and to be honest, if it's not at the top of your triage from when you're making your decision-making as your treatment planning, you're missing a major component. Everything is connected. And that's one of those things that, for me, drove this home over and over. And one of the things that's worked really well in my practice was that this becomes a team-driven thing. And, you know, after I came back from your course, Aaron, you know, I am like, oh my gosh, I need to get, you know, my assistants came with me, but I'm like, everybody on my team needs to hear this. Like, we've been doing a disservice. We need to talk to our patients about this. We need to make this happen. And when we had that first team meeting, we start really talking about the bigger picture of the why, of how we're trying to help our patients truly live better. All of a sudden, it starts clicking for our team members. And, you know, all of a sudden, the team members are like, oh my gosh, that's my husband, that's my boyfriend, that's my father. And all of a sudden, these light bulbs keep going off. And you're like, I know this patient, I know that patient. And what it does is it's created a culture around my practice. I mean, you've built a practice that's, you know, heavily rooted in a lot of these concepts, but ultimately it's not like, and I think it's important for users or listeners to understand that, like, your practice is not an airway practice. Like, you're a general practice,
general surgery,
you do dentistry, you do crowns, fillings, rehabs, implants, you do everything. But ultimately what I think you do really, really well is you have encompassed this holistic view of looking at the bigger picture. And that in order for my dentistry to be successful long term, I need to have a good core foundation of why things are the way they are. And
I feel like we do a good job connecting with the patient and, like, meeting them where they're at. And they, like, are like, okay, they know what's best for me. I'm going to entrust them to, you know, that they are the expert. And with the team members, the first thing we tell you is to go home and test your team members and their loved one, because that cultivates, like, you shouldn't have to, as the dentist, shouldn't have to do the heavy lifting. I do want to say, like, once you go down this path, it can be very overwhelming, because you hear people say, well, you know, you shouldn't do appliances that can mess up bites. You need to do myofunctional therapy. You need to do tongue releases. You need to do laser treatment. You need to... Dentists are really good at complicating things.
We dentist it, right?
Yeah. Patients want simple too. They want an easy entry point. So I feel like no matter what you decide to do, an appliance is a great place to start, because let's say full mouth rehab or surgery or all these other things are part that might be beneficial to them. They aren't going to want to jump to that financial investment, or even, like, time investment, or even the, you know, if it's invasive. That's a big step to go from, I don't think I have a problem, to that. Why not offer them a convenient, low cost, or in the realm of things, low cost, a conservative, reversible procedure, so that they can know how they could feel. And if they were ever at a point like, I love this, I'm young, I don't want to have this for the rest of my life, well, okay, here's the things we can do to make it more permanent. So no matter what dogma you follow when it comes to airway, or, you know, even full mouth or occlusion, an appliance is an easy place to start for your patients to start feeling better and see how much it's really impacting their life.
So when we start addressing these things, you know, like, I get it, because I've been through your course and some of that stuff. But as a new user, talk to us a little bit about, you hinted at a little bit here with regards to, like, moving them to being aware. and, you know, how we move from, you know, diagnosis and how we communicate this and how we move them to the next step along the path. How does your team have those conversations of moving patient from unaware to aware to committed to treatment to actually following through with treatment?
You know, everyone has their own style, and, you know, and patients respond differently. Some patients are moving towards, meaning they want to be healthy and they want to be their best, and they're kind of preventative minded. So we'll talk about the health benefits of good sleep, and they usually know what it is. And then if sometimes they're like, hey, if you're tired of having to sleep on the couch, you know, your wife told us you snore at night or whatever, then we can talk about some of their pain points. But noticing the anatomy, connecting it to how it might be impacting their life, like waking up refreshed in the morning is probably the number one question. Waking up several times a night, and then their medications that they have to go get every month, they have to take every day, like taking, bringing it, connecting it back to that. Did you know that hypertension and sleep apnea are connected? And did you know that sleep apnea is not just about snoring? It can happen to, it's connected with insomnia.
So are most these like questions that are on your health history, or is this like a separate form that you're doing, or how do you do this?
No, not a separate form. No, because a lot, I don't think patients fill those out. Like, they don't know why they are.
So it's just a chair side conversation?
So ours, it's a conversation. And, you know, hygienists want their op. And so if the dentist comes in and starts a 15-minute conversation about all the, you know, to educate them and talk about all the bad things that could happen if they don't do it, that patients don't really respond to that. And your hygienists aren't going to want to bring it up because they want their, like, if I bring this up, then I'm screwed. So our big focus, the hygienist, is one, to bring it up when they see it and start a conversation. The second is to get them to a consult. It's not even to get the patient to say yes to an appliance or even a sleep study for that matter. It's for us, the consult is where we can really sit down and get, like, dig in deep with the patient. Again, it's not just all education. It's connecting it back to how it's impacting their life. So the consult is where the magic happens. That's where they go home with the sleep study, or we order one. And as you may know, I say this a lot in the course, but the sleep study is really where the magic happens. Because all of a sudden it comes from, it shifts from, I may have a problem. I probably am not sleeping as well as I used to as part of getting old, to, holy crap, they just told my story, and this is impacting my life more than I thought. It turns to ownership and a little urgency and value. Pretty soon, like, oh, $2,500? Okay, let's get this going today. And I don't know the magic of it. I think it's the connection with the patient, the impact of the sleep study, and learning how to translate that to patient language and not just a bunch of technical mumbo jumbo, is what we do really well.
And I feel like that's one of those concepts that takes time for a team to develop. But ultimately, I think you hit the nail on the head with regards to the key to this success is your team, and having those team members that see the value of what the services you're are providing, seeing how it impacts patients' life.
One?
Right? Everybody
has
does.
One.
Yeah. And yeah. Usually it's the team member half the time.
Yeah.
But
the spouse.
Like, what I always laugh about, I'm like, I don't have very many patients that after I do a crown, they're like, oh my gosh, Tim, that was the most amazing crown. You changed my life. Like, my wife loves me better. Like, everything's great. Like, even with cosmetic dentistry, like, yeah, the patient's really happy and all that. But one of the things I've seen when you start addressing the bigger picture topics, like overall health, overall well-being, quality sleep, quality rest, and how impactful that is into your day-to-day activity, what you start seeing are those testimonials of patients that come back and are like, oh my gosh, you changed my life. And, you know, they say that you changed their life because, like, I feel better, or I can sleep in the same bed as my spouse or something like that. What we understand, though, is that, like, oh my gosh, like, we've literally added years to your life. And there are not many things in dentistry where we have the power and the capability and honestly the expertise to actually impact patients' lives at a level like this. And for me, that was what was so changing. It's like it opens up this conversation. And what happens is your patients start seeing your practice differently. And when your patients start seeing your practice differently, you start attracting a different culture of patients. I mean, you've seen this in your practice. Like people come
for
the services you provide, airway and everything else.
And they become dental patients because they like it here.
Absolutely.
You know, it's done a lot for the business side of things too. And it warms my heart that you're getting those results and you're seeing it. And
I was one of you,
how
you guys.
How many Nycards are you 3D printing?
You know, I'm still printing a lot of Nycards. I gotta admit, I still am. However, every one of the things that we've implemented in our practice is that every Nycard, in order for us to do one, other than like an All-in-X or something that's like to protect ceramics, when we do an occlusal orthotic or a Nycard, in order for us to do this, that we have a very simple conversation with the patient where we're like, in order for us to do this, we need to know that this is the appropriate therapy for you. The only way I know this is with a sleep study. And if the sleep study comes back normal, great. We'll do an occlusal orthotic and we're done. If not, we'll have another discussion about what is the most appropriate therapy for you. And when you have it, when you word it like that and you have these open conversations, patients are like, okay, it makes sense. Okay. I mean, it does. I'm not trying to sell you a mandibular advancement appliance or a CPAP. I'm just trying to figure out what is the most appropriate therapy
for
your individual state. And so for us, it's opened this door, which is why I think it's such a topic that's so important for new clinicians or experienced clinicians that may or not be implementing airway into their practice currently that you explore. So first step is recognizing the signs and symptoms, recognizing the where, recognizing, you know, the oral things. Those are easy for us as dentists and hygienists. Like we get it. Like, okay, we have attrition. We've got, you know, maybe we had premolars extracted. Now we've got a tooth arch discrepancy. We've got mandibular tori. We've got that, you know, deep bite, that, you know, turkey waddle appearance, anything constricting the airway, scallop tongue. All of these signs, symptoms are really easy for us as dentists.
That was the one I forgot. I forgot scalp tongue, sorry.
So those are things that are easy for us. Like those are our starting points. But I think what you hit on, Aaron, was that the medical things that we see, the antidepressants, the diabetes, the heart medications, all of those things, like those are the connecting dots that make it a very easy conversation for your team members and your hygienists. Say, hey, you're starting to check a lot of these boxes that make us concerned that there may be an underlying condition that we don't know about. And nobody can tell you yes or no. Like you said, you look at that young, fit female. Like you don't, it's not the old fat man's disease. We look at somebody, we can't tell, but it's such an easy conversation to get people into the door. So I do that. Is there a sleep study brand or test that I have to use, or are they all the same, or can I just pick whatever?
Each one has pros and cons. It ease of use, cost of use, you know. I don't actually want to name a brand right now, just because if you want, you could reach out to me and ask me. But I do think there's power in owning your own. Huge power. Even the only state that's really like outlawed it per se is New Jersey, and even then I would still want to own one for friends and family. Like the power of the sleep study is huge. So if you want more advice on that, I'm happy to help you. Just email me.
And what if I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I get it, Aaron, I know there's, I have patients in my practice, I'm like, okay, I need to screen them, but I don't know where to go to get a little bit more training for me and, more importantly, my team? What are my options?
Well, Tim, Dr. Anderson, I hope I don't come across as self-promotional. I may be biased, but I can't think of another place where you can get simplified A to Z, implementable, practical knowledge. I feel like I even talk about verbiage and communication with patients too. So,
well, I'll toot your horn and I'll plug them. Like, I'll tell all you listeners that I would not be where I'm at in my airway journey if it were not for Dr. Elliott. So I cannot advocate more highly for attending one of her types of courses. You know, she offers multiple times a year. When is your next course for everybody?
I have Denver February 21st and 22nd, and then back to the retreat April 18th and 19th. Saying that, so, I mean, we really don't have to sell anything either. And
no.
So that's why I hesitate to say, I can't, every other course I know has a product to sell. And I get to teach you my mistakes and like what's worked and what hasn't. So,
and the key to this, you guys, is implementation. Like, it's a team philosophy, culture thing within your practice. It really is. It moves you beyond the drill and fill, looking at the oral cavity as a bigger picture. And so I do think, regardless of which route anybody goes, like, airway needs to be at the top of your 2024 strategy. If you're not already implementing that needs to be one of those components that will not only impact your team and your practice, but will honestly change the culture of the patients within your practice, and it'll make your existing patients. What's that?
So I did just go out to Nashville and re-update our online course. And so that's going to be new and improved and great. I personally need live learning, but we've had people come to the course and then get the online version for their team at home. So lots of opportunity for what works for you.
And that's what we're all about with 3D Dentists. It's figuring out a strategy to change your practice, your future, your team, everything about your personal life. So with that, Aaron, I always like to close here with, you know, looking back on your practice clinically, you know, I can't stress enough for everybody, like, Aaron gets kind of tied into this, like, I'm an airway dentist, and Dr. Elliott does so many different things. Follow her on Instagram. She does all these crazy extractions, and she's doing stuff with lasers, and she's all these cool things now. But ultimately, Dr. Elliott, if you were looking back on your, you know, if you had, you could look back in a mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to talk to myself right when I get out of dental school. And what would you tell yourself to put yourself on a trajectory for success, knowing what you know now?
You know, when I graduated in 2003, continuing ed was just something you had to complete for your license, right? I learned everything I needed to know in dental school. And I wish I would have started with more quality, comprehensive CE sooner. But nowadays, I think if I graduated, I would be overwhelmed with where to start because there's so much. So I think getting into the 3D dentist ecosystem, having a mentor like T-Bone, having accountability and pushing me in the business side of things, and then adding these procedures, I think I would have fast-forwarded my journey. You did talk about, like, you were going to ask me about, like, a case that went sideways and stuff like that too. So I would have told myself to not take on every patient if it wasn't going to be a good fit. It's okay if they find another place. And so there's times looking back, I'm like, why did I agree to do that case? Or why did I agree to see that patient? So I'm becoming a little bit like, we're attracting the right kind of patient now.
Well, and you've done such a phenomenal job creating a culture. And it's so easy to say now, because, I mean, you're you're uber successful. You've had this great career and you're doing some amazing things right now. But I also would mirror that concept of we are not Walmart. We do not need to see everybody. And the power of no and being selective of who you treat and how you treat can be so impactful. So I completely hear you there. That comes to my soul on how I view my own practice. But it is one of those lessons that we learn over time.
You don't have to be everything to everybody. You don't have to be everything to everybody. And that's in dentistry, as a boss. Like, you might not have the right team members in place, and that's okay. They can find another place where they're more successful.
Absolutely.
So I think it's just like not to be afraid, just have some confidence and what's best for you.
Totally. So Dr. Elliott, if people want to learn more about what you're doing, if they want to get more sleep apnea training, if they want to learn more about airway or just kind of figure out what you're doing, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, 3D-dentist.com kind of shows you the, like we were talking about, the clinical mastery as well as the business. And then my email address, this is for those listeners that listen to the very end, because I don't give this out very often. It's AaronElliottDDS@gmail.com. 2 L's, 2 T's, and 2 D's.
And no joke.
No joke.
Well, it's one of those things, you guys, I cannot emphasize enough. Reach out to Dr. Elliott. She is an amazing resource. She does respond to everything that we need. I hope this kind of gave light onto some of the concepts and really emphasized, especially for those new users, like, oh my gosh, airway needs to be a component of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and change the trajectory within your practice. If you like more of this kind of stuff, like I said, follow me and Dr. Elliott at 3D-dentist.com. You can also reach me at Tim Anderson DDS on Instagram. But ultimately, if you like what we're doing, give us a like, give us a share, you know, give us a good review on whatever podcast platform you're doing. Dr. Elliott, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. We're also going to have her back because I do want her to talk about some myofunctional therapy topics, which we'll kind of go over at another date. But
yeah,
listeners,
my
have a
eyes
great night.
Open.
Awesome. And we will talk to you guys soon.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.